We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We want to thank Evan Thomas for getting us up and running and keeping us there on Twitch. Certainly appreciate that. We are broadcasting through the Hyundai Studios and want to thank our local Hyundai dealers. And we want to thank everyone for calling, for texting, for emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this Thursday.
Means a lot. And I want to thank our executive producer, Mr. Dustin William Rhodes.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
Adam Staszynski, Studs, that's a nice cut, buddy.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
All right, you win. I see you've played knifey spoony before.
And now the glorious time of day where we get a chance to talk to our beloved colleagues, Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi. Morning, guys. How are you?
Do we have a surprise for you, Mike Mulligan?
Oh, yeah. You don't get Dan Bernstein today. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. You're kidding.
Yeah,
Chris.
I'm so sorry.
No.
It's just me.
So excited.
Okay.
No one gives me a heads up. Of course, it's a holiday. For God's sake. I was wondering, my kids are home. I'm like, what the hell are my kids doing home?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. See, that makes sense.
And we are the ones using technology, so it will be an interesting show, as
Daddy
always.
Needs a sleep.
And now the drops have already come.
Okay.
Good morning, David.
Here we go. Hi, David. Hi, Molly.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Layla.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Layla. It's going to be a good day today. You guys are going to have a great show, right?
Everybody sounds so pumped up. David, that was cautiously optimistic. You guys had better be in line.
No, he had his Alec Ogletree energy going.
How about that? I thought that was one of the more compelling comments from Bears.
Well, it's been a week full of them from guys who are fairly new in town, and we're getting to know them from Marquise Goodwin to Alec Ogletree. They're pretty candid in whether it's Goodwin talking about the lack of a downfield passing game or going at Jalen Ramsey playing into his strengths, or Alec Ogletree admitting that there was a bit of a sleepy period there on Sunday night.
Oh, I know. And frankly, I think it's just more of the same from Ogletree out of what we saw during camp, because how many times did we hear he's the guy who's all over the field? He clearly got a lot of interceptions. I'm pretty sure he was the owner of that turnover bucket or laundry basket or whatever that was. And he's consistently bringing it moving forward. It was a laundry basket at one time, wasn't it?
I think so.
Or a hamper at least?
Yeah, something like that. I think it's anybody? Awesome.
Morning
no.
show, y'all want to help me out with the inanimate objects here?
No interest in the. You know, what good is the turnover bucket if you don't have any turnovers?
Yeah, it's empty. It's empty.
It's the unused bucket
it up this week.
If you had to give somebody something for a sack too, to motivate them for a sack, because there was only one and it was shared between two during the game Sunday, what would you give them? Like, I guess if there's a turnover bucket, there's got to be another object for a sack, like something to motivate.
Hmm. Oh,
hard
what
hat.
Would that be?
I feel like that's pretty typical.
Sack is like a hunting term, right? Like when you destroy some poor animal, you put it in a sack and you walk away with it. Wasn't that the basis? I'm not joking. I think
it's called a sack?
That's why they call it a sack. They should call it a body bag, apparently. I don't quite understand. But that initially, when they came up with that, the term was invented by, who was the great football artist or sack artist of early football? He wasn't getting credit for getting to the quarterback, so he came up with the term, and it's from hunting, believe it or
Deacon
not.
Deacon Jones?
So there you go. Yeah, Deacon Jones.
That's the second time Deacon Jones has been brought up in 2 days.
Really?
Dan was talking about his finger.
Huh.
Or his hand, okay. Which I don't know is really safe for radio or television talk.
What if Roger, I have a question for you. Yeah, well, change the subject to baseball. So you have this St. Louis insight that I'm curious to tap into here because
the Cardinals
are in the playoffs, right?
Right now they are. Now they're the second wild card because nobody in the National League wants the second wild card.
You know that on the day that the Cubs surrendered, basically the day that Jed Hoyer announced that everything is for sale and everything must go, July 8th, that the Cardinals had one more loss, I believe, than the Cubs, but they had the same 43 and 45 record than the Cubs at that point, and they are headed to the postseason. The Cubs had their fire sale and everything went.
Well, I don't know if the Cardinals are going to make it because it's really going to come down to them, Padres, Reds. Like, those are the teams that you're going to have to – that you should be paying attention to here in the last, couple of weeks of the season. They've had a lot of pitching issues throughout the season. They've had a lot of injuries. For whatever reason, they are just playing great baseball right now. I don't know if it holds up for the next couple of weeks, but it is obvious that the Reds and Padres are not interested at all in running away with a thing that was there for them to run away with. Like, they had every opportunity to put that away. Either one of those teams. It's just
they're there.
I know. They're right there.
How?
I don't know, man. I really don't. The National League Central.
They lost the best pitcher.
Well, and the Padres have the Giants tonight, so that doesn't help things.
No. In the National League Central, we talk about how bad the AL Central is. The NL Central is awful.
Who talks about that?
Everybody but the White Sox.
We celebrate.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in the AL Central is bad but the White Sox. But who cares? That's how you get the postseason.
I'm hoping that continues for years to come. But, David, is your implication that if the Cubs had kept their team together, they'd be the Cardinals right now?
Thank you. Okay.
Oh,
now,
I see.
That
yeah.
may not be an argument that goes a long way, but I do wonder about had they decided to change to not change anything and to hold on to everybody, could they be looking at clinging to a wild card hope because of what's happened to the Reds, to the Padres, to everybody but the Dodgers? It's competitive. Mediocrity could get you into the postseason.
Yeah.
And then anything can happen.
That is the advertisement for the second wild card, if I've ever heard it, because that is the truth. That is the absolute truth. And that's why we saw a couple of years ago teams not wanting to trade because they're like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Get into the second wild card and then face Max Scherzer or something? How'd that turn out?
But also there were a lot of teams that would wait to deal because they thought they still had a chance. Like they weren't going to give up any of their assets because they're like, hey, we're close here. So we might as well make a run. And then you added the extra teams to it last year, which I know last year was just totally unusual. But they're going to go back to that at some point. They're going to expand the postseason.
At some point they will.
I think at the end of the year, right? CBA is going to get renegotiated.
Probably.
And the TV money from playoffs, they've shown that it's proven to be a huge revenue boon.
Yeah.
It's not something that I look – they could have done it, I guess, is what I'm saying, and people would have wondered, but you're going to lose guys for nothing. And the trades that they did make, as painful as the next month was, they're going to one day look back at those trades as maybe they got the prospects that will build the core that they're going to win with next. But I just look at, July 8th as a flashpoint of the season, and the Cardinals took off from there.
Yeah.
They could end up in the postseason. The Cubs dismantled.
Well, the only way, and I advocated for this, a month or two prior to the deadline. So I guess it would have been 2 months when the Cubs were actually playing really well and both teams in town were either at first place or close to it. I thought you hang on to this and you write it out and see what happens, because it's very difficult to get there, even if you think you have a really good team. Look at the Padres, for example. They might miss the playoffs this year, and they went into the season expecting to be a playoff team. So I felt like if they're close, just see what happens. But as soon as they started to play like crap, then that's when there was nothing else they could have done. I don't think there's nothing else that would have been appropriate for them to do. Like hanging on to that team they had when they, after losing 11 in a row and then just playing miserable baseball for a few weeks, that was the only prudent thing for them to do, was to move on from some of those guys. And I'm honestly surprised they were able to get what they did and were able to move all of those core players. I didn't think they were going to be able to do that. I thought you were looking at like maybe two of the three. I just didn't think they were going to be able to move all of them.
But that prospect haul
wasn't great.
No, but the best return might be what was sent from the Yankees for Rizzo, or it might be what was sent from the Mets for Baez. I think with the Giants, you got one of their better offensive prospects, but still not as high as it could have been. But that was all of baseball. Prospect hoarding is definitely a thing.
I really don't want to see San Diego in the playoffs, I think, ever.
Ever?
You mean you don't want to face them? Like if you're the Sox in the World Series?
Oh, I know why.
I want them to fail for a very long time. That's all.
Right.
Yes.
It's a personal vendetta. Why?
No, just a general statement.
No, it's personal. Not.
It's personal. This is personal. What I got to know.
It's the Tatis factor.
How could it possibly?
Come on now.
Stop it!
Oh, that's what it
Sorry.
Is. Oh.
It's not just that. It's also the third baseman. It's
just
the
that.
Entire infield.
He doesn't like Brown.
He doesn't like Brown.
No, I Manny Machado, I don't want to see him. I don't want to see my combination shortstop, third baseman that I was imagining. So
the dream infield. Hey, not for nothing, but third base looked okay yesterday at the plate.
Third base looks great. I got no problem with shortstop. I just don't want to see those guys ever.
I did like the bat speed on Yoan Moncada. That was a pretty swing yesterday on the home run.
He's been on base now for not again.
Like every
base,
day.
They gave him an error on that hit that he had, but it's 25, 26 straight games, something like that. Yeah. It's crazy.
Consistency.
He's good.
He has quietly, gotten it back together while Luis Robert has been on fire since coming back. Do you see his slash line since he returned? Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable.
Well, Dan yesterday pointed out the weighted runs created plus. I know that shocks everybody. But in this case, it was pretty significant. If he and Yasmani Grandal would qualify where they would sit, and it's in the top five.
You know what's interesting about the White Sox? We haven't talked a lot about this, but they made those trades at the deadline, and we celebrated them because they fixed their bullpen, we thought, with Tapera, and they get the gold, and Kimbrough, and they get the gold glove second baseman, and those guys have not been good.
Nope. Yep.
And the Sox have still not really missed a beat when you look at where they are and where they were. They've been remarkably consistent, despite the fact that the deals they made, those guys haven't been contributors. Hernandez has had a negative, I think, is a negative WAR player since that point, and Kimbrel's ERA is over five.
Yeah,
I still think it's an aberration, though.
I do too. Like
ninth innings.
I don't know, man.
Dustin told me this morning that the Cubs have already won the Craig Kimbrel trade. And Magical hasn't played yet.
I have a question for Dustin, then, via you, Mully. If the Cubs hadn't traded for Jose Quintana, would they have won this current trade?
Yeah, that's interesting. How about this question? What if Magical wasn't hurt? So, therefore, you didn't trade for the second baseman, and you couldn't get a deal done for Kimbrel. Who would you have traded for Kimbrel? Who would they have wanted? Probably Kopech. So I don't know that you could have made a trade for Kimbrel if you didn't have the Madrigal injury. If Madrigal doesn't get hurt, what do the Sox look like right now?
Let's play that out.
That's a
do
very
you think,
good question.
I think, wouldn't they still be in the same position they're in even if they didn't have Craig Kimbrel?
The White Sox?
Yeah, they would. Yeah.
I don't necessarily...
And they'd still have Cody Hoyer, and they'd still have, you know, Madrigal, it wouldn't be her. Had he not gotten injured, that changed everything. So they made a deal with the Indians, and they got it. I mean, I'm just saying, it's right. A very interesting what if.
It is. I think you would end up probably, yeah, the price, Craig Kimbrel would have been traded. It's just a matter of to whom at that
right.
point. And I think the price would have been much higher on the Sox end, but perhaps he goes, you guys know this. I thought he was going to the Dodgers.
Dodgers did pretty well for themselves without getting Craig Kimbrel.
It just felt that way. It just felt real evil empire-ish.
You know,
They got Trey Turner and Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer could be the first guy traded midseason to win the Cy Young Award since
Rick Sutcliffe.
No.
Oh, wow. 84. Right?
He's pitching so great right now.
Yeah.
I can't believe how he probably wanted to get out of town. It's working for him, man. The Dodgers always hit. They very rarely miss in the last, I'd say, like 7 years. They just don't. They don't always win a World Series, obviously, but they just don't miss on their acquisitions.
And what they don't miss, well, what they miss on acquisitions, they cover up in payroll.
Like, yeah, and just, like even those really. I mean, some do, but I mean, for the most part,
circle,
they do really well.
Full circle, Ranji, you're saying basically that. If the Dodgers were sitting there on July 8th after an 11-game losing streak, they wouldn't be holding a fire sale despite having core players who are running out of contract.
Definitely not, no, because they'll just keep spending more. Well, and they can afford to do all of that. I would like to know this. Mully, as somebody who suffers with the Southside team, are you under the impression that bullpen is not going to stabilize before we get to the playoffs?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I've gone up and down with the White Sox hopes and dreams. You know, I thought maybe they could sneak in and steal home field away from Houston. And then last night happens and you're kind of like, yeah, you know, they've got the tiebreaker and it's really three games now. And you had it down to one. I have no idea how the Sox are going to play in the postseason. Well, I really don't, and I wouldn't venture a guess.
And for the Sox, my concern is not, it's not so much Houston. It's Tampa.
Well, the whole thing is a problem, right?
It's all a problem.
Famous man. It's all a problem. Yeah. John.
I think the Sox are going to be dangerous. I think the Sox are going to be dangerous because I've said it all along. They're going to get. I think they get hot at the right time. Their hitters are going to carry them. Their starting pitching is going to be very good, and the bullpen will be important. But I'm not sure. I just think this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I hope so.
I do
what
too.
Have
and
you
I get. Go ahead, Layla. We'll worry about this bullpen stuff later. No, I get the impression. I don't really know. Just to kind of wrap this up here, I get the impression the bullpen will figure it out in the next couple of weeks. I have this feeling, and it's only a feeling, they're going to stabilize somehow. And I could be totally wrong about that, but all the hand wringing over them, I don't think it's going to be as bad as people think once the playoffs start.
Molly?
From your voice to God's ear.
I'm trying to help, but I'm also with David. I have no idea how they're going to play. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Well, and with that confidence, Molly, I will offer you what we have on our show. We have Ian Happ at 9:40, so that'll be a fun discussion. Obviously, Chris Ranji in for Dan. We will talk about the White Sox game from last night, and maybe what was more important was what was said afterward. And the discussion about Dallas Keuchel continues. Dave Zirin, a sports editor at The Nation, Edge of Sports podcast. He is also the author of a new book. So we will talk to him about the Kaepernick effect. The Midday Midway is at 10:40. Anthony Heron is with us for two segments, 11 and 11:20.
Okay, guys. Have a great one.
Layla, go ahead. Call me Dad.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.